आजानुलंबिता भुजौ कनकतावतो संकेतनाय कपितरो कमलायतक्षो विश्वंबरो द्विजबरो जुगधर्मपालो वंदे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो वंदे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंदो सहोदरो गौरोदये पुष्पवंतो चित्रोत्सन्दो तमोन्नतो Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees participated in all of the festivals known as Rasa Yatra, Deepavali, and Uthana Dwadasi. One day, the two brothers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, consulted one another sitting together in a solitary place. No one could understand what the brothers discussed between themselves, but later all the devotees could guess what the subject matter was. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for all the devotees and asked them to return to Bengal. In this way, he bade farewell to them. Bidding farewell to all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them to return to Jagannath Puri every year to see him and then see the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaitacharya, "Give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to all His devotees. Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is open to everyone, even low-class people like Chandalas. One should follow this order in the disciplic succession stemming from Sri Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu and distribute Krishna consciousness without discrimination throughout the world. There are different kinds of men and women, beginning with the Brahman and going down to the lowest platform known as Chandala. Whatever one's position, everyone in this age of Kali needs to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest need of the day. Everyone is acutely feeling the pangs of material existence, even in the ranks and files of the American Senate. The pinpricks of material existence are felt, so much so that April 30th, 1974, was actually set aside as prayer day. Thus, everyone is feeling the resultant pinpricks of Kali Yuga brought about by human societies indulging in illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. Now is the time for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to distribute love of God, Krishna Bhakti, all over the world, and thus follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord has ordered everyone to become a guru. Amara gyoy guru hai thar e desh. Everyone in every town and village should be enlightened by the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna consciousness should be distributed to everyone indiscriminately. In this way, the entire world will be peaceful and happy, and everyone will glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he desires. The word chandala actually refers to one who eats dogs, who is considered the lowest of men. Even Chandalas can be enlightened in Krishna consciousness due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benedictions. Krishna Bhakti is not the monopoly of a certain caste. Everyone is eligible to receive this great benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone should be given a chance to receive it and be happy. The word dan means charity. This is very significant. Whoever engages in the distribution of love of God, Krishna consciousness, is a real charitable person. Professional men recite Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss devotion to Krishna for an exchange of money. They cannot distribute such exalted transcendental property to everyone and anyone. Only pure devotees who have no motive other than serving Krishna can give such transcendentally valuable benedictions out of charity. Every year, the devotees who were living in faraway places would come for 4 months during the Chaturmasya to visit Lord Chaitanya, who was at that time living in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. Here we find the intimate, loving reciprocation of the Lord and his devotees as he is bidding them farewell. But simultaneously giving them their his constant, eternal association through his divine instructions. Because factually, the association of devotees is most intimately understood through sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, used to often tell us that there is never a moment that he is not feeling the holy presence of his Gurudev. Om Vishnubhad Srila Bhakti Sthanta Saraswati Thakur. Because real love is not a matter of external proximity. But real love is the merging of hearts by serving the divine will of the beloved. And of course, that divine will is coming through transcendental sound. Because Srila Prabhupada was constantly remembering the instructions of his Gurudev and dedicating his very life to serving that instruction. The presence of his Guru Maharaj was constantly manifesting in his heart, far more even than when he was sitting right before him. In physical proximity. And this is a wonderful passage that we are reading today, because the instruction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to Sri Advaita Charya is practically identical to the instruction that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to Srila Prabhupada. There really is no difference. When Srila Prabhupada was a young man, he had just married recently by the arrangement of his mother and father, and he had just had a baby son. It was the time of life when the normal citizen of the world is most entangled in just trying to make some secure economic condition in one's life. It's the time in one's life when generally one puts religion and spirituality aside, at least for the time being. But one of Srila Prabhupada's very close friends, Narendra, he said, there is a very great saint. I have seen him, I have heard him. He is speaking tonight on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please come. Our Guru Maharaj, he said, I have seen so many saints, so many sadhus. I am not so interested. Oh, no, you must come. So, as an act of love, to reciprocate with the great desire of his friend, Guru Maharaj came. The place was One Ultadanga Junction Road. Some of you may have been there. That was the original temple of the Gaudiya Math, before any were built. It was a little rented house, very small. When you go in the door, there is a little courtyard, and in that courtyard was a temple. A very tiny place. And then if you go up the steps, the concrete steps, you come to the rooftop, and on that terrace there was a jackfruit tree growing from the ground, giving shade to a certain section of the rooftop. And there was a seat, an asana there, and it was there that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would give class from the Chaitanya Charitamrita every evening. So this young man, Gurudev, out of etiquette and respect, he bowed down. And as he was still in his prostrated obeisances, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to him that you are an intelligent young man, you should teach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language throughout the world. Giving him an order, giving him a life mission before they even met. Recently, I was speaking to one very, very famous great yogi, Swami Chidananda, the president of the Shivananda Ashram worldwide. And when I was explaining this story to him, he tears started falling from his eyes. And he said, this is prophecy. This is divine prophecy. He knew your Gurudev would do like this. So Srila Prabhupada took that order into the core of his heart and nourished that instruction. Although externally, for many years, he did not appear to act on it. Internally, Everything he did was in pursuance of preparing himself to someday dedicate his very existence, body, mind, words, life, to giving love of God and charity to everyone without discrimination. And before Srila Prabhupada left this world, he gave the same instruction to all of his disciples, all future generations in this Krishna consciousness movement, to all followers of Sanatana Dharma. What was that instruction? Do as I am doing. Be very sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? To be pure in our life. To strictly follow the principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. To strictly chant the vow of chanting the holy names. To observe that vow as first foremost priority of our life. And most of all, what is it that will give the strength of attraction to what we say and to what we do? It is how much we are willing to put aside our own false egos, our own pride, our own individual selfish aspirations in life to be the servant of the devotees, to assist the devotees, to assist on every level, body, mind, and soul, in working together to bring about this spiritual revolution in human society. Because after all, we are preaching love of God. And love of God means to love God's creation. You cannot separate the two. To love the whole means to love the parts. And the Lord's devotees, spiritually minded people, they are already the most connected parts to the whole. To Krishna. Therefore, service to the Vaishnavas, putting oneself last to assist the devotees, is the real expression of our desire to serve our Guru and Krishna. And without that, who will take us seriously? You can ask Malati Swamiji, how Prabhupada attracted people to this movement. It wasn't so much the philosophy he spoke. Because in the beginning, hardly anyone could even understand his Indian accent. It took time. People say it was the prasad. But it wasn't the prasad.
as far as food.
It was his love. That's all. Because here was someone, such an exalted, wonderful person, who cared so much for everyone, who had such a personal love for everyone, who was willing to give his life, who was willing to die for any one of us, who was willing to take any risk for any one of us. How many people are willing to do that? To a stranger. Self-centered people are sometimes willing to die for their children or for their parents. Srila Prabhupada was willing to give his life, to risk his health, to give up all of his property, to everything, to help even the least amongst strangers in a foreign land. With such care. It was not the taste of the prasad that attracted people. It was how it was prepared and how it was given to them. Huh? Even if something is unpalatable, if it is given with so much love and so much care and so much devotional hospitality, it tastes good. Not to the palate, but to the heart. Srila Prabhupada, he was so tolerant. He was willing to accept all sorts of criticism from others. He was willing to accept the curses of our parents. Just to give in charity.
Love of God.
Therefore, what is it that attracted our hearts? It was his pure, unmotivated, charitable heart that touched our hearts with God's love. And factually, that is the way God consciousness always spreads. Not by institutions, not by big organizations, but by people who really are in that charitable spirit of sacrifice to give Krishna even to the least amongst men. In the Christian scripture we find the same principle. During the Last Supper in Jerusalem, Lord Jesus took off his cloth, his upper cloth, and got on his knees and went to wash the feet of all of his disciples. And was drying their feet with his own clothes. And I believe it was St. Peter, he said, "No, my Lord, feet are very low. It is the lowest part of my body. I should be washing your feet. You should not be doing this. You are my master. You are my Lord." He said, "No, you must let me do this. Because if you see how I am washing the feet of all of your God brothers, and I am your Lord, you will understand what is your position to all of your God brothers." He wanted to set this precedent that to follow him means to be the most menial, humble servant of all of the devotees. And thus, to create a spiritual atmosphere of harmony, love, and trust. Prabhupada said this, that this movement is nourished only by love and trust, and it will continue only by love and trust, and it will spread only by love and trust. But this is the age of Kali Yuga. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Where there is quarrel and hypocrisy, where is there trust? Without trust, you cannot love someone. Huh? And where there is hypocrisy, how can there be trust? This world, everyone is in such an exploitative temperament of mind that nobody can trust anyone anymore. Huh? Sixty-six percent of all marriages end in divorce within 3 years. Husbands cannot trust wives. Wives cannot trust husbands. Children cannot trust parents. Parents cannot trust children. The most intimate family unit, there's no trust. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a saying. It was the motto of the whole young generation. Never trust anyone over 30. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And we live by that rule.
Now they're all over 30.
I know. It's true. Now I'm 41. What goes around comes around. We didn't ever expect we would ever go over 30. But it is true. In this age, even the most close relationships, the propaganda of Kali creates distrust. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadeshamrita the six principles of loving exchange amongst devotees. To reveal one's mind in confidence and to be willing to lovingly hear another person reveal that mind in confidence. But confidence means there has to be trust. Huh? To give prasad, to receive prasad, to give gifts in charity, to receive gifts in charity. But as long as these relationships are superficial, our lives are superficial. And our very relationship with God is superficial. And our chanting of the holy names of God is superficial. And on the spiritual platform, love and trust is created by the concept of das, das, anu, das. To become servant, not to want the position of master. Kali Yuga, there is no love and trust hardly anywhere because everyone wants to be master, everyone wants to be enjoyer. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that great guru, saint, that was his greeting to everyone he would meet. Whether they were exalted spiritual personalities, or whether they were just simple street sweepers. When he would meet them, his greeting was always from the heart. Dasosmi. Dasosmi means I am your servant. And he meant it. I am your servant. To give in charity from the heart means you have to be servant. Materialistic charity is when we give out of pride. When we give thinking, I am the benefactor of your welfare. Huh? I have come to give you something wonderful. And that position puts you above that other person. That's not real charity. Today, people give charity for prestige, for a good name and fame, to get tax write-offs. Right? Charity is based on self-interest. It's not charity. Not in the spiritual sense at all. If we want recognition, if we want any profit, adoration, or distinction by our giving, it's not really charity. What it is it's charity to our own false ego. Right? We're just investing in our egoistic account. For real charity, we have to first adopt this real attitude that I am servant. You are Prabhu. You are my master. And even the lowest person is our master. And out of humble service, we are giving. And when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, here he was, coming from Vrindavan in the highest, most exalted state of spiritual consciousness, coming to the ghettos of New York City, drug addicts, hippies of complete uncontrolled lives. Huh. But when he spoke to us, he would explain that I am not giving anything of my own. I am only repeating the word of my guru and the word of God. It is not mine. I deserve no credit. He would identify himself, quote unquote, as a postal peon. Huh? Postal peon. What is a peon?
It's a serf, a low class laborer in medieval society. A peon sometimes is also considered a new person in a university setting, you know, or a military order. They're the lowest rank.
It means all these things from an etymological, scholarly point of view. Sri Bhakti Ananda Goswami Maharaj has given the explanation of peon. Prinsala says peasant. Pardon the expression. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But sometimes I just listen to words and think, what does it really mean? It means somebody who considers himself so low that he's in a position where everyone should just... He's in a position where...
We get the message.
Something like that. Huh? Peon. Oh, really? That should be our mentality, that's all we deserve. And that was Prabhupada's mentality. And practically, that's what everyone did to him. And what does it, even the lowest dog, what does he do? What to speak of the dog eater, but even the dog, what does he do to the grass? Treats him like a peon.
the word humilitas in Latin, humility comes from humus, which means the sod, the soil.
The dirt, the grass. Postopion. Postopion is not an ordinary peon, but someone who owns nothing, has nothing, but is just in the utmost humility delivering a message. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is requesting Advaita Charya. Give Krishna consciousness. I am giving it to you. Now you give it. It is not yours. It is mine. It is the Lord's. I am entrusting you to give it to everyone without discrimination, even to the lowest of men. That means when we give in charity, in the true sense, we are the humble servant of the person we are giving charity to. We are doing it as an act of sacrifice on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of the devotees. And of course, charity begins at home. Everyone knows that. If we cannot develop that disposition toward one another as devotees within our temple or within our community, then what is the question of developing that disposition toward those who are living away, outside? It's not possible. So therefore we find that Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book which essentially gives two instructions: service to the devotees and chanting the holy name of the Lord. We cannot separate these two principles. And if we try to do so, we'll have neither one. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives one example of having half of a hen. The front half of the hen is eating, and you have to pay your good money to feed it. And the back half gives eggs, and you make money by what, of course, not us, but this is the way the farmer thinks. So therefore, why don't I just cut the front half off? Then I have no more liability, and it's only an asset. Well, what happens if you cut the front half off? You have nothing. It's dead. So the chanting of the holy name in the service to the Vaishnavas. Saying something about assets. You better save us with some scholarly explanation.
Well, this is the God's truth. If you look in the etymological dictionary, under the word arse or ass, it's from the word asana. It's what you sit on. And that is a bona fide word.
Goswami Maharaj Ki. Asana. Now every time I think of the word asana or vyas asan, I have to think of that. Okay.
Yes. We must restore, we must kick back holy ground, we must reclaim the English language and all of these other languages and connect them back up to the primal fun.
The primal
dignity.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught exactly what Bhakti Ananda Goswami Maharaj is teaching, that the primal tongue is the name of God. That everything is emanating from the name of God. Every language in every place of the world, it is all various emanations from the name of God. Is that correct?
Yes, actually. Actually, the Greek Oceana, we have the ocean, is a
Shayana, which is the culture of Vishnu, and not the from the root Janmadya Sayata. Everything emanates from God. All language emanates from God. All of creation emanates from God. Therefore, if we, with an open and true heart, trace anything, any word, any piece of material, aham evam vidvarjana, jatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantapa. But it is only by undivided devotion that I reveal myself as I am. Okay. To the degree we develop this consciousness of being the servant, of the servant, of the servant, to that degree Krishna reveals himself everywhere, in and everything. So this should really be our greatest priority. Like half of a hen, if you try to separate the chanting of the holy name from the service of the Lord, the service of the devotees, the service means real charity, then you have neither one. And Mahaprabhu taught, simply by developing this charitable service attitude and chanting the holy name, anyone, it does not matter who we are, what we have done, we will attain in this life the supreme perfection of prema bhakti, pure love of God. That is the promise of the Lord. That is the vow of the Lord. Anyone who takes these principles seriously, by the grace of Krishna, will attain the supreme perfection of life. Is there any questions? Yes, Raghunath ji. It is the instruction of the exalted Vaishnavas to serve each and every devotee. You cannot separate the two. The degree you are serving the Vaishnavas, to that degree you are serving Guru. cannot separate the two. Can you? Love me, love my dog. Huh? Every devotee is the dog of Guru. If you don't love the dog, you do not love the master. Huh? So we have to develop that vision. If we do not, then we are missing the central point of Krishna consciousness. Familiarity breeds contempt. Unless we develop this spiritual disposition amongst ourselves, we should expect nothing. We should give everything. Huh? Yes. Must be a postal peon. Huh? We do not do service according to what our service is bringing them closer to God. Our service is not just to satisfy their senses. That is not service at all. You are the servant of the soul, not the servant of the egos. So that person's ego might have brought him in total disconnection from his soul. That doesn't mean you serve the illusion and perpetuate the illusion. But you do whatever you can. If that person will not allow you to give them anything in Krishna consciousness, be their servant and pray for them. We are not servants of the illusions of others. We are servants of the needs of their soul. Yes? It's a question of your consciousness, and your consciousness will very much influence the lives of the others. If you are engaging people for your personal sense gratification, then you are just polluting yourselves and misleading others. But if you are engaging them in service, giving them even orders, but doing it in the mood that this will help that person come closer to Krishna. This is my humble service to that person according to that person's position. That is service. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say when he was sitting on his Vyasasan, I may be taking all this worship, but I am doing it simply as a humble, obedient service to all of you to help you become Krishna conscious. A devotee never thinks himself master, always servant. If you are not doing it to help that person as a menial service to that person, then you should not tell him anything. It is true. If fact is, you cannot serve Krishna directly. You have to go through Guru. And the fact is, you're insane if you think you can even approach Guru directly without approaching the devotees. Whatever you do for the devotees is what you're doing for the Guru. However you respect for the devotee is how you're respecting your Guru. It is a fact. Actually, that's what Srila Prabhupada taught us. You can show your love for me by how you serve one another. Jesus said, you show your love for me by how you treat the least amongst you, that is how you treat me. Yes? Serving means helping that person with whatever is required for that person's spiritual interest. If a foolish child asks the mother to eat poison, service is not, oh yes, please, here it is. Service is to say, no, rascal. Right? That is service. Unless we are situated in transcendental knowledge, we cannot truly be a servant of anyone. Yes?
Raj, when we're dealing with others, I've heard it said that when we're in a situation with devotees, either the serving, either the servant, the master is giving an order, and the servant is trying to carry that order out. If the servant is in a mood where he may not want to surrender to that instruction, I've heard it said so many times that we should just do the thing anyway. But I've also heard it said that even someone's prayers to engage someone in service are hurtful to that person unless that person, who is the servant, has made his own prayer, has tried to at least make some effort, not begrudgingly, but has some desire to surrender. So it seems to be a fine line when instructing someone. Shouldn't we first try to arouse their attitude of service before we engage them in that service?
The first thing, before getting involved in all these complicated details, the first thing is, by your own example, you can influence the hearts of everyone to some extent or other. Huh? Just by taking that position of truly endeavoring to be a charitable servant of Gurudev, of all the devotees, by striving to put ourselves last and others first, that example could change the whole world. And if you make that decision in your life and strive for that decision in your life, then all of these detailed questions, Krishna will answer them one by one as they come. Swamiji, you wanted to say something?
I was just reflecting on, you used the expression God. And actually there's a Christian religious order called the Dominican, and it's Dominicana, which is daughter of God. Mm-hmm. The word name in that we have in English is from Dhamma, as Vrindavan Dhamma in Sanskrit. And Domini is the name of God, meaning that he is the Lord of the Dham. So, and St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans, just considered himself a dog of God. Well, that's where they get their name from.
So we are also Dominicans.
Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, "My dear Gurudev, I am just like a dog following behind you, calling out, Krishna, Krishna." Yes?
As you were speaking about being superficial, how can we guard ourselves from making our spiritual life just a superficial show, or chanting, or service of?
By learning to care for the other devotees. I mean, genuinely care. Genuinely try to help them. If they're more advanced than you, you genuinely try to assist them and carry out their orders. If they're equal to you, you're genuinely trying to encourage them, befriend them, walk hand to hand together in guru service. And if they're newer than you, you genuinely try to, what on every level, make them happy in Krishna consciousness. Huh? Go out of your way. Make sacrifice to please each devotee that you possibly can, in whatever way you can. Huh? And you're not superficial. And in that mood, if you chant the holy names of the Lord attentively, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, then you will very rapidly receive the mercy of Lord Krishna. Yes?
What you're saying about selfless service, isn't that situated on giving up our own vested interest? In other words, we may be able to idealize and try to practice all this, but we must give up our own sensory education if we actually become humble. We cannot actually put this out of the way.
But this is how we become humble. By accepting position of servant and serving for the purpose of pleasing Guru, pleasing the Vaishnavas. Huh? And when we develop that consciousness, then we will learn how to please the souls of others. Service means to please. Well, even in the restaurants, they say, we serve to please, right? But they're trying to please your senses. Srila Prabhupada, he worked to please our senses, to bring the senses closer to Krishna. Huh? Krishna has to be in front. Krishna has to be the central point. But in when Srila Prabhupada would deal with Saraswati, did he preach philosophy to her? Huh? What did he do? How did he deal with her? I mean, on a general basis, how did he deal with her? Give an example. He just gave her love, right? Because he set the stage of giving her so much love, then when he asked her to recite the Bhagavatam, then she could do, right? Dharmaraj, when he was a little baby, Prabhupada gave him money. He was? By your address.
So isn't a dress something of the body? Because he was making her happy, even on the physical level. But the aim was to bring her closer to Krishna.
Huh?
That is real service. If we neglect devotees' bodies, then we have missed the whole understanding. We must not neglect any aspect of a devotee. But the aim is to bring them closer to Krishna. The advanced devotees, their bodies are temples. By doing something, there's one great devotee, Bhagavat. He was very close to Prabhupada. He had hundreds and hours of association with Srila Prabhupada, where they would discuss all detailed plans for building temples, for organizing Kumbh Mela, for all sorts of things. But Bhagavat told me that the incident in his association with Prabhupada, which stands first and foremost in his heart, was one time in Mayapur during the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthday. There was Guru Puja. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees in the temple room. And Srila Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan. And everyone was just offering him garland after garland after garland. And everyone was chanting his names and dancing and all looking at him with such love and offering him flowers and offering him obeisances. So Bhagavat came and offered him some flowers and bowed down to him. And Srila Prabhupada called him over. He said, "I see you have a cut on your foot. What is wrong?" He said, "Yes, I cut my foot." Srila Prabhupada, this is in the front of hundreds of devotees saying, "Jai Prabhupada, Jai, Jai Prabhupada." Prabhupada was not listening to Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada was thinking of his foot. Prabhupada reached in his pocket and took out about 30 rupees, Indian currency, and said, "This." He told him a particular type of medicine to go buy and where to buy it, and he gave him the money. Huh? Now that might seem material, but the fact is by doing that, he won the heart of that devotee more than anything else. My Gurudev, so great, so exalted, everyone's chanting his name and he's thinking about the most insignificant cut on the foot of the most insignificant disciple. This is his meditation. But Prabhupada was not just concerned with the foot. He was concerned with showing enough concern and love for that person on whatever level was necessary to bring that person's heart closer to Krishna. That is real preaching. That is the highest preaching. Yes?
I just reflecting how devotees are wondering, or aspiring devotees are wondering, how can we become humble? How can we understand how to serve? How to discriminate the people's situations or what is best for them? And I was just considering how it is that if we focus on trying to please the Guru, the one whose desire is perfect, then it just seems that as time goes on, automatically all these other things gradually become revealed, the end of his desire. It seems that if we focus primarily on that, finding such an exalted person and trying to serve him, and it seems that somehow all the other.
But again, what does it mean to serve him? It's to please him.
So initially,
and if you do not work to cooperate and please and serve those who he loves, then you're not really trying to serve him at all. You cannot separate the two. To think to exclusive service to Guru without service to the disciples, it's craziness. There's no such thing. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. How can you please the guru without pleasing those he loves? That is the way to please guru.
It seems that some of the questions were regards to how do we serve him? How do we know what to do?
It means to follow the instruction. To surrender to Krishna. But to build a community. How do you build a community? You can't build a community without community means building the community. Swamiji. What is the meaning of community?
Well, in the Latin word con or con is related to the Greek S-Y-M or S-Y-N, which is the Egyptian S-M and the Sanskrit S-A-M, some. And the word communion is the Sanskrit word samunya, and the root is like the word, the root for yoga. It means to unite, and sam is with, and com is with. So communion is the same in the Latin as the Sanskrit word, which means to unite with. So that's, you know, our English word union, com union, unite with.
So what does it mean to commune with? It means we all have to commune together with Guru. Srila Prabhupada said you show your love by how you serve one another, cooperate. That's his order. If we neglect that order, we neglect him. And what does Srila Bhaktipada say? I know in India, every letter that he's been sending personally, when he writes his own letters, be the servant of the servant of the servant. That is the essence of Mahaprabhu's teaching, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And do you think Guru is teaching something different than Mahaprabhu? If you're not striving to be servant of the servant of the servant, you cannot strive to be servant of the master.
So then the question is, how do you come to the point of knowing exactly what it is to do or somebody that is serving them, and what is simply weakly giving in to perhaps their more domineering people? For instance, we've seen so many great devotees.
That is, that you have to be very insincere to not understand that. Huh? In other words, if we understand a little, we have to understand the basis of knowledge. There has to be a preliminary understanding of spiritual philosophy before we could really serve anybody on a spiritual platform. If we understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then we understand what it means to serve and what it means to not serve. If a person has a domineering ego, and Guru wants us to surrender to that person, then we should. Huh? We still have a Guru. Guru is still the central focus of everything. He's teaching us how to serve. You just ask. If somebody is domineering you, okay, so you ask, Guru, I want to serve this person. How should I serve him? If he says, don't do what he says, and then that's how you serve him. If he says, just forget your own ego and serve, do it, then that's how you serve him. We have to serve every Vaishnava, but it's still under the authority and the direction of the senior most devotees. Huh? I believe it was Nityawar, one of the devotees at the palace. He was working under somebody who was not even following the principles. His staunch brahmachari, surrendering everything, is working under the authority of someone who's not even following the principles. But if Guru says do it, then we do it. It's So we have to get our direction from the spiritual master. The song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, what does that mean? How to be the menial servant of every Vaishnava from the heart, right? We have to aspire for that. We may not be on the highest platform now, but we have to aspire for that. We have to cultivate those types of relationships as a priority. Otherwise, you can build big, big temples, and people will say, oh, how wonderful, how beautiful. But if devotees are quarreling with one another, they'll say, it's a nice place to visit, but I don't want to live here. Right? Unless we develop the temple of interrelations with Vaishnavas, our whole community is useless. All the buildings, all the gardens will attract people's senses for a few minutes. They'll say, oh, wonderful. You should have your picture in a paper. But then when you go beyond the surface, if devotees are not loving one another, everyone will, so what? Who cares? Huh? But if you can develop big, beautiful temples, and within the temple is the spirit of love and trust, the whole world will be attracted. You agree? That is the first principle. Yes?
You're saying so much about serving the devotees and how charity begins at home. So, what is the instruction towards non-devotees, serving the non-devotees? What should our attitude be?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Advaita Charya, give Krishna consciousness even to the lowest amongst men. Obviously, the lowest amongst men means non-devotees. Huh? Devotees are the highest amongst men. That is how we serve, by giving them Krishna conscious. And how to give them Krishna conscious? Not by being self-righteous preachers, but by doing whatever it takes to attract their heart to Krishna. Huh? By giving Krishna's love to them. By showing we are concerned, we care for their spiritual welfare. Hmm? That's the first thing. If a person doesn't think you care, is he going to want to listen to you? First thing you have to do is demonstrate to a person you care about them. Then they'll open their hearts to listen to you. Then they'll receive the knowledge by which their whole life can be transformed. Right?
Didn't Prahlad Maharaj say that I'm not so much concerned, because I'm a devotee, I'm not so much concerned about my own spiritualness, I'm concerned for others.
Hmm. Is there any other questions? I think it's getting late.